pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your written word, and especially we thank you today for the letter that Paul has written to the Corinthians. We thank you for that Corinthian church who we learn so much from. But thank you too for the apostle who teaches us the truth of your gospel, and we pray that as we listen today to his words, that we will hear your word to us, a life-giving word for our lives here in 2021 today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. One of the earliest songs we sang in the service today had those words, "My Redeemer lives." We sang it over a number of times, and I thought to myself, that is really at the heart of this chapter. Chapter 4, it tells us time and again to turn our eyes on that which is unseen, and the unseen reality is the reality that's still coming towards us, and the thing that we see at the present time is temporary, but the eternal which is coming towards us and will be revealed at the unveiling of things with our Lord's coming will show us what we've really been anticipating all along, and that is that our Redeemer lives, and because of Jesus' resurrection, the world's a very different place to live in, and so our ministries should reflect that. And this chapter is mostly about Paul reflecting on his ministry and his writing to encourage all the members of the church in theirs to draw on the same strength, and that is the principle that I can read it's verse 10 and 11 really. This is a principle that's at work in you and it's at work in me. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that as his life, that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So this is the principle. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And the Apostle Paul went joyfully and happily and expecting marvellous things to take place as he told the world this truth of what is unseen and yet is nevertheless real, and that is the resurrection of Jesus. And as he begins this passage, one other thing to bear in mind is that the gift of the Spirit, which is given to you, is upon you. It brings you into union with Jesus. So the Holy Spirit unites us to Christ as a human being, and then we are one with him in his life. So you should rightly then anticipate that your life would reflect much of his walk, in a way. His walk, the way he related to people, you'll reflect in your life. You're in union with him. The way he entered into his sufferings, you will also enter into suffering in union with Christ. But you'll also enter into them knowing that you're united with Christ already in this resurrection power, and that reality will strengthen you. So therefore, he says this, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And many a Christian has been tempted, perhaps tempted's not the best word, has been so discouraged that they've virtually lost heart. Sometimes people battle for years in their family as one believer amongst others who sort of perhaps ridicule them or dismiss them. But he says, no, we don't lose heart. We've got this ministry through God's mercy. His mercy we've known, it's come to us, he's merciful. And because of that, we don't lose heart. Jesus once told a parable. He said, you know, about a woman who kept coming and praying for her situation to change, or she kept coming to a judge. And Jesus used this little story to say, well, you know, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And he really was encouraging us to not lose heart. He told the parable so we wouldn't lose heart, but we'd keep praying always. So continue in prayer. And then the title, really, of today's message is connects this risen power of Christ with ourselves. Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Jars of clay, there's a little bit of background when you think of jars of clay. I came across a book when I was studying some Australian history doing my degree in Flinders Uni for ministry and so on. And the book was called, from the old AV way of speaking about it, Treasure in Earthen Vessels. So that's the word. We have treasure in earthen vessels where we're not super duper special, enduring all aspects of life. We have a frailty and a tendency to crack and break. We're earthen vessels. And jars of clay, same thing. And we have that, it's in our nature, in our bodies. I think you get stronger from about the age of, you know, one or two. You start to get some strength up to around about 23, 24, 25, perhaps around about there. And then I think after that, you start to deteriorate. Have you found that? Well, it is happening. Paul says, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. There is a breakdown in the life of human beings that is real, it takes place, and that is part of what's taking place, but it takes place more if you're getting beaten up daily by, you know, opponents to the gospel, which was Paul's instance, and he suffered an enormous amount in order to get this message of hope through to the world. So we don't lose heart, he said, rather, and so sometimes you might be tempted to try and present the message in a more acceptable way, and that's good if you can get that. But he said, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception, no trickery. We don't distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, simple as we can, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. And then he gives this point, and I've made this point, and hope all preachers do continue to make this point. It runs a little bit against the grain of Enlightenment thinking, but it says here that the God of this age, and he's really meaning the powers of evil, the God of this age, who's working to blind people to the truth of God, says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so their minds won't naturally be receiving. You say Christ risen from the dead means a change for the world and you and me. Instantly, someone's mind won't embrace that first up because there's a dulling and a blinding. And so the minds of people who are unbelieving, that's what's happening. Nevertheless, it's into that context that the light of the gospel shines. And he says, it's so that the idea is to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel that displays the glory and the greatness or the weightiness of Christ, who is the image of God. And then he says, for what we preach is not ourselves. We're not focusing on how good we are or how strong we are or how well we're doing. He said, no, our focus is on Jesus Christ as Lord. And what we're saying is, he's Lord of this whole show. He is Lord of COVID-19, absolutely far above the whole thing. and he is the Lord absolutely of all the nations of the world, and he is this by virtue of his resurrection power. There's no other Lord, there's no other man who has lived a life and overcome death. He is Lord of death. He is Lord of life. He is Lord of this age. He is the Lord of the age to come, which means you've been brought into union with him as your brother, and you've been brought into union with him as your friend, and you've been brought into union with him as your saviour, and he's on your side. He's for you. He's in favour of you. He loves you. And so, you know, you have the Lord working with you and for you. And he says, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach this Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, or the Greek word there is slaves. It's just saying, no, I'm wholly over as a servant or a slave for Jesus' sake. My life is actually bound up in bringing this great hope to the world. And then he harks back, just in case you dismissed Jesus' power in that resurrection as, you know, something a bit quirky or a bit odd that happened. No, he says, no, for God, who, and he's talking about creation, that's the same God who said, let light shine out of darkness, let there be light, and there was light. And this same God who made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. There is a light shining in the world. Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So that's our lives now. And then he goes on, as we've said already, that to say that we have this treasure in jars of clay. He describes what that's like. He said we're hard pressed on every side. We are not crushed, though. We're perplexed. There's a lot of perplexity about where life's at the moment. But we're not in despair. Here's a contribution of the Christian church. We may be perplexed about what's happening, but don't despair. Stay with Christ. Live in union with him. Be part of that new creation, anticipating it. Know he's the God who heals, and he's the God who's Lord of every disease. So stay on that page. Persecuted but not abandoned. Paul experienced that persecution, but he also experienced the Lord every now and then, came and spoke just quietly to his heart, and he knew it was the Lord, and he got him, dusted himself off, and went on again. Struck down, but not destroyed. He said, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, and the word there means the killing of Jesus, this opposing of him that he felt, that principle we carry as well. So we do look to him suffering in the garden and seeking more strength. We look to him feeling unable to press on, and we're thankful, we're grateful that this mighty man persisted in the face of all difficulties. And he persisted to the cross, and that's where his most difficulties took place. Someone said those nails and those spike into his feet may have even served in some way as some anesthetic to the deeper suffering that he was enduring. Everyone who was crucified was nailed to a cross, and that hurt their hands and feet. But there was a deeper matter of suffering, and our Lord persisted until he had suffered to the uttermost for you and for me, that his life may fully flow for the world, for eternal life. So that's the principle. Death's at work in us, but life in you, says Paul, and he's speaking to the church. Yes, he's an apostle, and he's felt the pangs of having to write to the church and correct them and so on, but that's worked fresh life in them. They've responded, and he's glad about that. And then he gives a little principle to encourage you in your spoken ministry. You know, we have fantastic serving ministries here. You know, people came in yesterday to serve, and they're there streaming the service. People put together some hours to get photos ready for, we had a funeral here yesterday, but people, you know, pack chairs, they do things. Things that the life of the church had done in the background, visit people, pray for people, get communion ready. These are just the religious-ish kind of aspect of our lives, let alone serving one another daily in the community. But all of that is part of our service. This is now Paul encouraging them in the speaking part of their ministry. You have a speaking part in your ministry, and sometimes it's just one phrase, a little thing you say, and it's as sharp, because Christ is speaking through you. And so Paul says, it is written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. I believe the Jesus I met on the road to Damascus was the true resurrected Lord who was crucified. I believe that. He said, and therefore I spoke. I just said it. He said, since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. We're all going to be there. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that's reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. It's always nice to hear a Christian who's just come to Christ. They're so thankful that people persisted with them. They're so thankful that when they were, a bit ugly in life and a bit unthankful about anything and anyone, that someone persisted to love and to care for them. And so now thanksgiving's overflowing. It's bubbling over the top to the glory of God. And he repeats this same thing then. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outer nature's wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. Let me ask the oldest of you among you here. Are you feeling renewed inwardly day by day? If you're not feeling it, are you being renewed day by day, whether you feel it or not? Faith nods and says yes. Has a couple of hands up the back there. And this is the case. So a friend of mine once said, that means the older we get, the younger we are. We're being made new. We're being made new inside. That's not a mystical matter. It's definitely not a physical matter. If you go and test with the doctor, he'll say, nah, you're just getting older. It won't be visible that way. But to faith, this is what's happening. There's a maturing of you as a human being and a renewing of you, a making of you as a person that one day will be clear as clear. So Paul is saying, I want you to trust this happening now, because he said we're fixing our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's lasting, it's substantial. Friends, I would just like to encourage you as you go. Most of our life is lived out in what is seen. You know, we get up and we see that, you know, there's a foggy day just disappearing and clear. We see, yeah, the sun's breaking through. We see what's before us. It's real action, real physical things we've got to do. We've got to go and make some gates or get the sheep in or do something. We're attending to the real world of real things. That is what our life is about. That's where our Christian faith's worked out. But Paul's saying, while you're doing that, fix your eyes not on what is seen. You keep your eyes fixed on what is unseen, because what's seen's temporary. The gate's going to rust out eventually. The life, you know, that you're giving, if you're a teacher, you're giving life and teaching. All of that is it's permanent in the sense that it's part of Christ's ministry and it'll be there in the end. But there's a fleeting moment. It's changing. It's going. I was only thinking this morning, it doesn't seem that long ago I was in primary school. And I'm an old guy now. How did that happen? I mean, it's quick. Life moves quickly. And so here, Paul is saying, you keep your eyes fixed. It's fleeting. It's temporary. But get fixed on the reality that's coming, because that is what Christ has come for. And he wants that to be, he wants this human race to anticipate the age that's yet to come. So we've got some work to do. My message is finished there. May the Lord add his blessing to you today as you go about your daily life. Pray for the Lord's help. He's interested in everything you're doing, everything that's good and noble and true. But he's also wanting you to keep your eye fixed on what's yet to come. May God add his blessing to that today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, at different times we're sorry, we only do focus on, you know, how much maybe our body feels pain, or our wistfulness about life, or our perplexity, or our worries. But Lord, we thank you that your word to us is a living word, and it reminds us, it commands us even to fix our eyes on what is unseen and yet is real. A risen Christ, continue to strengthen your church that we may be a happy blessing, a cheerful group who have hope to offer to all the world. In your wonderful name, Lord, we pray. Amen.